We are doing the Rambam's introduction to Mishnah. And the Rambam is now going back on track to discuss the history, the involvement of the oral law. And the Rambam says, "Uksheishlim Radashe lechaber chibur haTalmud." Sorry, we're on page Pei Dalet. And we're doing the Rambam's introduction to Mishnah, page Pei Dalet on the Rambam Nam edition. And we dedicate our learning in the morning to Chaya Sara Bat Yosef. "Uksheishlim Radashe lechaber." Chibur haTalmud, when Ravashi concluded in compiling the Talmud al Mashu alav, on the different things that the Talmud really encompasses, the way we know it, Haita aflagat chiburo ve'otzem toalto le'ed ne'eman alav. The uniqueness and exceptional qualities of the Talmud, its exceptional nature and the fact that it is so useful were its own testimony on him. Tiruach elehin kadishin bei, that the spirit of the holy God is in him. That Ravashi had Ruach HaKodesh when he composed the Talmud, because without it he couldn't have done such an amazing work. What we find from Ravashi in the Talmud are 35 masechtot. Ve'lo matzanu lo davar beseder zraim ela brachot bilvad. We don't have anything in the Talmud on the order of Zeroim other than on tractate Berachos. Ve'lov masechet shkalim miseder moed, and the order of Moed, we have Talmud on all the masechtot other than shkalim. Ve'lo al masechet eduyot, and in Nezikin, we have Talmud on all the tractates other than eduyot. Ve'lo masechet avot, and the tractate of Pirkei Avot miseder Nezikin, from the order of Nezikin. When it comes to Zeroim, we have no Talmud on all of Zeroim other than Brachot. When it comes to Moed, we have Talmud on all of Moed other than Shkalim. When it comes to Nezikin, we have Talmud on all of Nezikin other than Eduyot Navot. Ve'lo Masechet Midot u'Masechet Kinim Meseder Kodshim. And in the order of Kodshim, we have on all of Kodshim other than Midot and Kinim. Ve'lo Matzanu lo Davar Gamken Meseder Taharot al Masechet Nidah Bilvad. And when it comes to the order of Taharos, again, we have no Talmud on all the tractates other than the tractate of Nida. That tractate has Talmud. The Rambam doesn't explain. The Rambam just says this is the way it is. It's interesting to note that we have a work called She'ilatos de Rav Achai Gaon, which is a work that Rav Achai Gaon wrote for his son, in which he summarizes different sugiyot in the Talmud for his son. And there are a few benefits to the Shiltot. One of the benefits is that when you learn Talmud, the Talmud isn't organized in a fashion that is easy to learn. Meaning the Talmud goes based on the Mishnah. And the Mishnah was ordered in a specific way, sometimes in chronological order, sometimes in the order that the Tana favored, the mitzvahs that the Tana favored, but it wasn't ordered in an order that's conducive to teaching. Meaning, if you want to learn Tractate Shabbos, you really need to begin with the 7th chapter, 2nd Mishnah, in order to know all the melachot, and from there you could evolve. The Tana went in the order, in chronological order, going from Friday into Shabbat, and before he started chronological order, he started with telling us about the melacha of Hotzah, because he had to strengthen that melacha. So that's a melacha that's weak, that conceptually it's hard to understand what's wrong with it. So we have the first Mishnah focuses on something that's not even in chronological order. So if one starts learning Talmud Shabbos, one will find oneself lacking many basic information. The advantage of learning the Shiltos is that he puts things in order. He'll take a topic and he'll go in order, in a logical sequence. Not in the order that the Mishnayos or the Gemara goes, which has its own rules, but is not necessarily the most conducive order in which you would teach a child or a newcomer. The Shiltos goes in a logical order. An order that you begin with the basics, and then he evolves and he evolves, until he brings you to the final point that he wants to make. So that's one big advantage of learning Shi'ul Tos. Those of you who can, it's very recommended. You'll get a handle on many sugyot and shas. There's another advantage to learning the Shi'ul Tos, that he has different versions of the Gemara than we have. Sometimes we don't know what the Gemara said. We're questioning, the Rishonim already questioned, does it say this word here or that word here? Do we have to add a sentence or not? And when you look in the Shi'ul Tos, you see very clearly what it says. So that's another advantage. And the Netziv in his commentary on the Shi'ul Tos makes one more point. He says that the Shi'ul Tos sometimes quotes things that don't exist in our Talmud. So the Netziv says, we're definitely missing parts of our Talmud, and possibly even whole tractates. So when we learn this Rambam here, that the Rambam tells us these are the tractates that we have from Rav Ashi, we know that in the Rambam's time this is what they had. But can it be that a few centuries before the Rambam, in the times of Rav Chai Gaon, there was more? It's a possibility. What the Rambam said we have. This is what we have as well. From the Rambam to today, things were pretty consistent. Approximately 150 years ago, a person decided to fool everyone. And he said he found in an ancient archive, he found a lost tractate. And he brought that tractate, and the rabbis sat and worked over it. And some rabbis were really taken by it. And many great rabbis said, no, no, no. If you found it somewhere in a deep archive in Gniza, we respect that, but it's not real, it's a farce. And different rabbis gave different explanations why they were able to figure out that really it was a fake, and the truth is it was a fake. This guy sat down, took the Mishnayot, and then put together a Talmud from the Talmud all over Shas around those Mishnayot. He was able to put it together very nicely, and it was very convincing. But you see that they didn't say off the bat, well, it cannot be that there exists a Talmud on something we don't have. The Rambam says this is what we have from Rav Ashi, from the Rambam's time till today, that's been the case. But can it be that there were other things before the Rambam? We don't know. Or at least I don't know. He was Tamid Chacham, yeah. Achar kach niftar Rav Ashi, achar shegamar Talmud. I don't know. Then Rav Ashi passed away after he concluded the Talmud. Kasher zachanu, as we mentioned earlier, Rav Ashi passed away bivavel in Babylonia, Babylon. And just like Rav Ashi did, so too the wise men, the rabbis in Israel, did. They composed the Jerusalem Talmud. Rabbi Yochanan, and the one who composed the Jerusalem Talmud was Rabbi Yochanan. Benimtzam neirushalmi chamisha starim shlemim. And of the Jerusalem Talmud, we have 5 complete orders. Aval seder teharot, but on the order of taharos, lo nimtza lo talmud b'shum inyan, lo bavli v'lo irushalmi. On the order of taharos, we have no Talmud on any of taharos, not in the Bavli, the Babylonian Talmud, nor in the Jerusalem Talmud, ela masechet nida. The only thing we have is the tractate of Nida, Moshe Zechanu, as we've mentioned. Now, the Rambam over here is not touching on a very important point. We have 2 questions we have to consider. Firstly, which preceded? The Jerusalem Talmud preceded the Babylonian, or the Babylonian preceded the Jerusalem Talmud? So the Rif in the end of the tractate Erevin tells us that the Jerusalem Talmud preceded the Babylonian Talmud by approximately a century. Now that's important because the Jerusalem Talmud and the Babylonian Talmud don't always agree with one another. We have a rule in Halacha, Acharei Rabim Na'atot. We go with the majority opinion. But that rule is only when the people spoke to one another. Meaning, if 100 rabbis sat and convened on an halachic question, and each rabbi heard the other rabbi's opinion. And then at the end of the day, 60 rabbis say this way, 40 rabbis say the other way, so we go with the majority opinion. Fine. But what happens if 60 rabbis or 100 rabbis convene and 99 say one way? And then there's another rabbi who isn't present, but he's a very big rabbi. He's worthy of arguing on them. And he holds differently. So then we say we have a problem. Because so long as they didn't hear his opinion, so long as they didn't hear him out, and he didn't hear them out, then we cannot say, let's nullify his opinion based on their opinion. The rule of Acharei Rabim Na'atot, we go with the majority opinion, is only on the condition that they heard one another. If they were able to talk, and he told them his opinion and why he holds that way, they told him their opinion and why they hold that way, and each one was able to give their case and argue it back and forth, and after they concluded their conversation, they still had 99 going one way and one going the other way, then we say go with the majority opinion. But if they did not converse, then that one might be right. Could be he has a point they didn't think of. So then we don't necessarily go with the majority opinion. And this has relevance to halacha. This has relevance to Yom Kippur. Let's say 99 doctors say the person could fast. One doctor says the person cannot fast. And that one doctor doesn't see the other 99. So then we have a problem going with the 99 and overruling that one. We won't be able to overrule his opinion because they didn't talk to one another. Maybe he knows something they don't know. So in general, we only go with the majority opinion as a blanket statement if they spoke to one another. If they didn't, then we're stuck. And in different instances, we'll have to do different things. Now, the first question we asked was, which preceded which? Did the Babylonian Talmud precede the Jerusalem, or did the Jerusalem Talmud precede the Babylonian? The Rambam doesn't address it. And we have to wonder why the Rambam mentions the Babylonian Talmud before the Jerusalem Talmud. That's question number one. And the second question, I'll get to you in just a second. The second question is, did the composers of the Babylonian Talmud see the Jerusalem Talmud? Meaning, if they saw the Jerusalem Talmud and nonetheless they chose to argue on the Jerusalem Talmud, then we would say, being that the Babylonian Talmud came after the Jerusalem Talmud, halacha kebatrai, we have a rule. From the generation of Abaye and Rava onward, we go with the later opinion. We say if the later opinion heard the earlier opinion and disagreed with them, in spite of the fact that they knew the earlier opinion, we go with the later opinion. So if the Babylonian Talmud came after the Jerusalem Talmud and saw the Jerusalem Talmud, then we should go with the Babylonian Talmud whenever there's a disagreement between the two. The Rambam ordinarily goes with the Jerusalem Talmud. That's what the Gra says. Yodua Darko Shel Rambam, everyone knows, says the Gra, the way of the Rambam is that when there's an argument between the Babylonian and the Jerusalem Talmud, the Rambam goes with the Jerusalem Talmud. And we have to question, the Rambam over here left us without information. The Rambam doesn't tell us, did they see one another and who came after whom? That's not his purpose here, but he doesn't mention it. So those are two points we have to think about when we read this Rambam. Yeah. Excellent question. We could discuss it after class or on Thursday night.
Question.
Yeah.
What if that, when you said the majority vote?
Yes.
What if if one doctor or one rabbi represents 100 other when we're not in the so-called convention?
That's complex.
I mean, I'm sure he can find, let's say he can find 60 others to say.
So let him bring them. Let him bring them. That takes us on too far a tangent. We can't do that today. But if you want, there's a Mishnah in Eduyos. I don't remember the end of which chapter. We could look it up in the end, and you could look at the Mishnah about Akavya ben Maalalel arguing with the rabbis. And he was the singular opinion, and the rabbis were the majority opinion, and he didn't give in. In the Mishnah, then, I don't remember which chapter of Eduyos, over there you have a little bit of insight into the question you're asking. Let's continue. אבל יכול אדם לפרש הסדר הוא אחר יגיע רבה ועמל גדול ושיסייעו התוספת והברייתות. Even though we don't have Babylonian or Jerusalem Talmud on the order of Taharos, if you work very hard, then you could explain that order with the assistance of the different brisos and the Tosefta that we have. Vilaket halachot habot al inyano bechol haTalmud. And then a person has to gather the halachos that are relevant to the order of Taharos throughout the Talmud. V'yotzi v'sichlo ha'ikarim shel ha'masechtot. And then, intellectually, he'll figure out what are the fundamental principles of those tractates. V'inyanei min halachotahim. And their concepts from those halachos. כפי שתראה שנפרש הסדר ההוא בעזרת השם. As you'll see, we will explain that order בעזרת השם, says the Rambam. Now the question over here is, what does the Rambam mean? The Rambam is saying, you could explain, even though we don't have Talmud, you could explain this order if you work on all the different sources that we have left. And you'll see, as I will explain, in that order. Does the Rambam mean that he hasn't yet composed it? Or does the Rambam mean when you'll get there and learning this work? What's the relevance of the question? We have to wonder, in what order did the Rambam write his work? Did he first write the commentary on all of the Mishnah and then write the introduction? Or did he first write the introduction and then write the commentary? Okay, I think we'll have to pause here for today.